Hi, everybody, and welcome to this slightly late version of the Blizzard Watch podcast. We went a little late because we had an inkling that something might be happening yesterday, but unfortunately nothing did. So we're not going to have anything to talk about this week, and we're all just going to go home. It's been nice for you to show up. No, I'm kidding. This is, of course, BS on my part. First off, yes, we are doing kind of a little War Within Alpha discussion. If you're watching the stream, you can see that we are, in fact, in the alpha. There's a couple characters up on the screen already. Before we get any further, I do want to say hi to Nick, who is coming on in for to help discuss War Within with us, because he's had the alpha longest of any of us. So he's had more time to explore it than the rest of us have. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Of course, as we've got our magnificent Joe and Liz also here with us. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I call him magnificent. That's all I get.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, all right, guys. Lots to talk about. So first off, this is the interface, if you wanted to look at it really briefly, if you're watching us stream it. And if not, well, you don't have to. But one of the things that they've put in for the War Within that I think a lot of us were interested in is this, and I keep wanting to call it the Warframe, and that's not what it's called.
Warband.
Yes, the Warbands. You're looking at, if you're looking at it, you can see that they have a campfire there in the center, and then your characters appear around it. As you go to log in, you've got the typical login on the side. You can actually make favorites, which is fascinating to me. I didn't know you could like favorite characters.
Go ahead. Maybe Nick can tell us. I was under the impression that favorites would be, that those would be the characters that would show up in your Warband screen. Because
Go ahead.
Because it's only four characters that'll show up on the screen, even though every character on your account will indeed be part of your Warband, but only four of them will show up on that screen with the campfire. And, you can admire their transmog. They can be obviously besties hanging out together on the login screen.
So only four at a time. All your characters will, like, once it gets beyond four, will show up beyond that or below that little line. And then you can just, and I know this because to get a look at all the hero talents, I made like eight characters during the first 2 days of the alpha earlier this week. And it's easy to just drag and drop them to make them look or put them in whatever order that you want. And if I can just like go on a little bit more about it.
Yes, please.
The Warband thing, so earlier this week, the alpha went live, for the invite press release or press event only from Monday through Wednesday. We had a Q&A with devs on Tuesday, and the Warband system was something that they're really psyched about because and when I look at some of the preview article that comes out, it's kind of underselling in terms of what it is. Like when they say it encompasses everything on the player's battle net, the actual Q&A with the devs, they were talking about the Warband system represents not just a philosophical shift of all your player or all your characters being under one roof, so to speak, but also from a technical side as well. So they told us that on the data side that, yes, your account has, let's say your account has four characters, right? And all that data is technically under the same roof, right? But each character is in a different room. So they're together but separated. And they're separated by, whatever their lines of code. I'm trying to, really simplify this to make it easier, right? It's there's walls, there's a barrier, even though they're all under the same roof. What the Warband system does is essentially brings everyone together into the same room for all times and purposes. And it's part of a shift that they want to try and go and make to have everything in WoW essentially be account, truly account-wide as much as possible, barring a few exceptions. So all that data separately becomes one, so to speak.
Are you done? Sorry, man. Cool. No, I'm actually looking at it right now. I just made a third character just so I could mess around with it a little bit. You can't import characters yet, unfortunately. But yeah, right now you've got the three characters, and you can switch between them right there like that. Yeah, it's really cool. I'm going to actually log this one in to see what happens. But yeah, this is just one. Like, they've actually made a lot of stuff is changing with the warband system. One of the things I noticed, we put a post about it, is how it's going to streamline leveling quite a bit, because once you get your character, your first character, to max level, you get an experience bonus.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
To the following characters. Any other characters you level, you're going to get bonus XP. Basically, so it's a complete replacement of stuff like the old days we would have the... I want to say heirloom armor. Is that what we used to call it?
Yeah, I don't think heirlooms have gone away, though they were nerfed an expansion or two ago.
But this is basically it's a replacement of that idea in terms of how to speed up leveling.
And I mean, it's interesting because you level one character 8 to 80, you'll have a 5% experience boost for your other characters. Two characters, 10%. Three characters, 15%, and so on up to 25%. So by the time you get to the end there, that's pretty significant.
Yes, it is. It's really interesting. As is always the case for an alpha, I apologize for all these giant people floating in the air. They're the various people you can buy stuff from. But yeah, it's the other thing that's interesting about it for me for the warband isn't just, it's this idea like what Nick was just saying about how they're all in the same room now. Like it feels like it's their response to other MMOs that do character systems differently and have basically allowed you to take one character and do a lot of different things with them. Like, I think Final Fantasy, I can't remember the number of the Final Fantasy MMO. I apologize. It's 14?
14 is the MMO, yes.
Yeah. They have basically the job system where you basically have one character, but you can, like, okay, I want to be a, I don't think they call it a Death Knight, but whatever their equivalent is, you can go from the Dragoon to something else. You can essentially switch your class because that's the job. They're not doing that, but they are making it so much easier to basically have as many characters as you want, and all the stuff is shared between them. Reputation is shared between them, all that kind of thing. And that's really... Go ahead, Liz. I can hear you.
I should note that reputation is not 100% shared. Mm-hmm. There are, like, some big caveats there. Your renown from Dragonflight and all of the renown in War Within are shared, but old renowns are not shared. They want to make them shared in the future, but that's not going to be a launch day thing. So it's just going to be Dragonflight and War Within initially, and then they're going to be adding more reputations over time. But there are some things that won't be shared. Things that represent player choice, like Aldor and Scryer, you chose one or the other. So it's not like you could level one character with Aldor and one character with Scryer, and now all of your characters are exalted with both of them. Those won't be shared. Insane in the Membrane, that horrifying achievement where you have to get exalted with all of the goblins and honored with the Bloodsail Buccaneers, and all of them hate each other. That will not be something you can do on just one character and have it done by all of them, because it represents like a particular challenge. But the goal is certainly to really make the entire game. This is an account-wide thing. This is something that you, the player, have accomplished, and it doesn't matter which character you're participating on. You have done this.
Yeah, and I especially think for leveling, it's a really good move, because let's face it, after you've taken a character to max level, it's cool the first time. And it's still pretty cool the second time. I think I got 5 to max level in Dragonflight. By the time I got the 5th one to max level, it was going from, wow, this is really cool and interesting, to, Yep. Heard it already. Come on, hurry up. I gotta go talk to the horse people. Come on, let's speed this up. I gotta ride a puppy. Oh, you're a really cute puppy, but this takes forever. Oh, wow. And that's, I think that having that incrementally increasing buff as you level more characters to max level is a really nice way around that idea. Because that is, I mean, we've all felt it. We've all been like playing a character and had them basically as you've done this before, like all the RP stuff in a choice. Like when you go to I'm going to use Battle for Azeroth as an example. When you're going around Kul Tiras or Zandalar and you're doing you're picking which zones to go to, the coolness factor fades just because you've done it. So I think that's an interesting way around that too. It is something that I'm really interested in seeing happen. Unfortunately, I'm very frustrated at the moment because all the realms just went down. So I'm currently looking at a loading screen, which is just great. Sorry, for those who are watching it. Yeah, I know.
I can go back to the renown real quick.
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah. So for the renown, once the war within starts, like for your Dragonflight factions, your renown will just default to whatever the highest it was for any given faction. So if you have four characters, you got one lucky character to like Valdrakken Accord, renown level 10, and everyone else just like kind of pittered around two or three, boom, once the war within hits, everyone's at renown 10, which I gotta say is such a welcome change, because for someone like me personally, who just really slogged on like rep grinding for all the different Dragonflight factions, this will make it easier, at least in terms from the outset, starting with the War Within factions to like keep everyone level, so to speak. And I'm curious, because it sounds a little bit messy in terms of like your renown track for all your previous ones. So like in Dragonflight, if you managed to max out everything on one character and then you never did anything on alts, I'm really curious to see how those rewards are going to hit. But that's also something that I like seeing the renown get this rework as well, because now it's just, punitive is not the right word, but it's the only word that comes to mind when I think about.
You think you could say discouraging?
Yeah, I'd say it's less discouraging when you want to make an alt and then realize like, oh, I get to skip the campaign, but I got to start from zero everywhere.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Since we're on this subject, though, we should talk about the warband banks, I think, because they kind of tie into this whole idea of trying to make it more alt-friendly in general. I'm looking at the posts that we have on the site, because as you can see, I can't actually get into it myself. but you've basically got this warband bank, which starts off with 1,000 gold for a tab, and then you've got 25,000, 100,000, 500,000, and 2,500,000 for the last one. And this increases the amount of slots you'll have access to in the bank.
But
go ahead.
Each of those tabs, I mean, they start to sound really insanely expensive. I'm never, ever, ever in my lifetime going to get that last tab. But each tab is, I think, 98 slots. It's 90 something.
Yeah, 98, 196, 294, 392, and 490.
So you're getting a lot there. And one of the things I really love about the Warband Bank is you will be able to craft out of it. So you can just have all of your alts throw any crafting material you come out, anything you find, into your bank. And you go out and you're crafting something, all of your characters are pulling from that same bank. So you don't have to, I'm training tailoring here, I've got to send all my cloth to this.
Yeah, that's pretty similar to how Guild Wars 2 does their crafting and their crafting bank system right now, too. So that's good to see that they're grabbing it.
I know that you all are big fans of this particular topic, so I'm going to dangle this in front of you. You would not believe how fast the conversation turned with the dev Q&A from warbands to warband bank to, okay, everyone's got the same bank, right? Player housing when? It was like a breakneck, like divergent turn, and it was, I mean, hilarious for me to see, because I know it's something that people want.
I think everyone's really enthusiastic about it, but there are so many technical hurdles to adding that, and it already sounds like warbands implementing this has been a pretty going from, you know, they've had to change their whole data structure to go from single characters to all of your.
And then also, this was one of those moments where it's like, you kind of just assume things would work out like, oh, this will work out in a great way for the warband bank.
The warband, I like well, that.
Yeah, the devs were like, we missed an opportunity there, like in real time, like, ah, that's what we should have called it. Darn. But one of the questions was asked, like, all right, so how does gold transferring work? And there was like this split second pause of, huh, we should figure that out and then let you all know in this Q&A, which was like, I mean, it's a cool human moment, but eventually we got the answer that currency all go, like, not just crafting materials, but your currency all goes into your shared pool, right? And then instead of like mailing 100,000 gold to yourself, you just send it that way.
In other words, you just have it. You don't even have to send it. It'd just be in the bank.
Yep. You just have to choose a character to send it to.
So this is what I haven't gotten a chance to log on to the Alpha yet. And I have wondered, so is it like you take gold and you deposit it into your warband bank specifically? Like you have to specifically put it in the warbank?
That's what it seems to be looking at the picture of it. Because again, mm-hmm. I can't log mm-hmm. in to look at it either. But you've got there's an amount of gold, then there's the withdraw and the deposit. So I think you do still have to choose to put the gold into or take the gold out of the war bank. And I'm calling it Daddy War Bank. Yeah, go ahead. You thank me later. But yeah, look, if you're looking at it, just has in terms of how the UI is set up, there appears to be a withdrawal and deposit feature. So you don't have to put all your gold. Like if you want to segregate your gold out by character, you can leave it where it is. But if you want to send gold to another character, you don't have to mail it to them anymore. You just go to the bank, bop, deposit the amount you want to be in there, switch over to the next character, and withdraw it. So that is interesting. It's not quite the way Diablo does it, but it's getting closer. It is a very Diablo-esque. This looks a lot like the Diablo stash mm-hmm. in terms of how it's working and what it's doing.
So, Nick, did you get a chance to play with the warbands in the bank?
Not the bank. Okay. There's so much
happening here. So
yeah, when I got in, I noticed that this version of the alpha starts differently than the other version that the press got to do. There was actually like the little, you know, when you log into a new expansion, you get whoever's talking head saying, you know, champion, something terrible is about to happen. You need to go to X place and talk to somebody. That didn't happen in this alpha, like the ones that came out today. And that's what happened in the press one. And I ended up, Jaina told me to go talk to Magni, and I ended up at the sword, and then I ended up in Dalaran, and then I ended up on a beach somewhere. And then from there, I just picked a direction and flew. And I started taking screenshots and taking notes. One thing about the bank, though, that for currency too, that I like is that it's not just the gold, it's also like stuff like your flight stones that you can transfer. And for the more rare currencies that you need for like, you know, like your dragon flame crests, those can be transferred too, but depending on how much you transfer at any given time, you'll get like a transaction, like a penalty, like you'll be charged for processing that transaction in that currency. But yeah, in terms of war bands for the war bank, very messed around with that very little. One of the things that, at least for the war band itself too, is that there's going to be more coming to it that they want to do. Like a bunch of people ask, can you make them, you know, can you set up different armor or different equipment or, you know, your little trinkets here and there? Can you make them do they all have to be around a fire? Can you have one like reading a book? Can you have one meditating? Blah, blah, blah. And like the short answer was like, you know, maybe depending, because like, yes, to you, it's just a person or it's just your character reading a book. But to a developer or coder, it is, you know, X amount of time creating, developing the posture, the code script, the like animation flow. So the one thing that I did like, and it wasn't like readily apparent to me until I tried it. Like when I first filled out my warband, I thought that I could just click on one of my characters and, oh, boom, all right, I'll double click on him and log in. that didn't happen, you have to click the enter button, right? And that's actually something that they were looking at bringing more towards the front end into the live game sooner than later.
Yeah, I just noticed that as well when I just logged in before the servers decided, oh God, we let him in and died.
Well, when you say they're looking to bring it in, do you mean they're looking to bring that functionality to live where you have to click the character, then click enter, or are you looking that they're trying to fix it for that you can go back to double click?
Oh, they're trying to bring it so that you can double click it and enter, double click your character and enter that way instead of click the choose your character and then enter world.
All right, perfect. Just wanted to clarify for those at home.
Joe is about to be very upset.
Why?
Okay, yeah. No, I thought that's what you sounded like. You were going to be very upset with them. Like, you know, if they didn't do that.
No, it's just a point of clarification, right? Because, I mean, and the other thing to just remind everybody at home to kind of take it with a grain of salt, since this is an alpha, things can change and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So don't take what is there right now as concrete stone. And if you had, like, it sounds like they were listening to some of the feedback already. So that's always a good sign.
Yep. I agree on that one. Speaking of listening to feedback, I know that there's probably still a lot more to talk about Warbands, but we do have to try to move on to some other topics briefly. I wanted to talk about the arachnophobia feature that they've put in, which I think is really fascinating. No, we can't talk about it?
No, I mean, I hate spiders.
Oh, okay. I was like,
well, then this feature is for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's really funny though is that they've chosen the way they're getting around it to me is really funny for a couple of reasons. One of them is that I have a phobia of crabs.
And
like, I'm afraid of crabs. I don't like them. And they freak me out.
To make the connection here for the readers at home, the arachnophobia mode that you can turn on turns all spiders in the game, every one of them, even spiders that are like bosses, into crabs. So now it's all you can choose crabs or spiders, one or the other.
Yeah, and based on so far, all I've seen is video. But based on the video, it's not just that they have one crab that they just slot in for every vaguely spiderish mob. They actually use a variety of different, like the Lobstrock models, which I don't actually have a lobster thing, so I'm cool there. But they bring in the Lobstrock models for like the Nerubians and so forth. There's lots of different. They don't use just one kind of crab. They're pulling in a ton of shellfish on this one. There's all these different types that are replacing all the different types of spider mobs that exist in the game.
And somewhere Greg Street is smiling.
Yes. it's really interesting that they've done this. I know a lot of people with arachnophobia, including people I know worked on this game at one point. So I had to wonder, I was actually saying to myself, I wonder what Kim is thinking right now. Because, you know, like I said, being a World of Warcraft fan and not liking spiders can sometimes be a real problem. There's a whole wing in Nexoramus where I had a healer in my guild at the time, and this is Nexoramus 40, who couldn't look at half of the bosses. Oh. Like, we did Maxina, and she couldn't look at it. She had to basically point her character's perspective camera on the webbing and just use frames for everything. She couldn't look up, because if she looked up, she'd panic. And Maxine is a really bad one for an arachnophobe, because it looks like a spider.
It looks like a spider, acts like a spider. It has a lot of the sounds that are associated with, like, funny to mention the arachnophobia, but, like, the Maxine fight, you go back and watch the movie Arachnophobia, there's some crossover Foley work there. But this
really funny is the Foley work is completely not what real spiders sound like, but it's so associated with spiders to us that it still triggers it. Yeah, it's messed up.
I will say that go ahead.
No, I was gonna say thank you for unlocking a memory that I forgot. I had seen that movie as a kid and that terrified me. Go ahead.
So this I think is actually a really good move forward. And I'm sorry, I just feel like talking, so
go for it.
We talk about accessibility a lot, and accessibility is very important to a lot of people. And we know that they've been trying to pay more attention to it as things have progressed, especially as of late. And this is sort of just another notch in that, because there's a lot of stuff in the game that can be very triggering for people. But the spider thing is a real big one because of exactly how many bosses and areas are just chock full of spiders. Like I was recently leveling a rogue from, you know, beginning to current, and I'm in Dusk. Why can't I remember the name of the town? Area. Duskwood. Thank you, man. I haven't had coffee today. Can you tell? but I was in Duskwood, and it's like there are just literally that entire zone is like it's like at least 40% spiders wherever you go.
By volume.
Mm-hmm. By volume.
He's not kidding.
Right? Like, oh, I'm going to go hunt this wolf. Why are there 10 spiders where this wolf is supposed to be? So this is good for people that maybe had a really hard time struggling to get through that, or are maybe in the future going to look at things and not have them be spiders, but be a lobstruck. So it's a good thing. It's a good win for accessibility.
So on the arachnophobia mode too, it's an instant change once you turn it on in game. I tested it by, I stood in front of a giant group of Nerubians that like just outside of range, because I don't know if it was just alpha, but their range like detection was really sensitive. So I had a very, very, very small window before they descend on me and start beating me down. But once I turned it on, boom, everything turned into a giant lobster, which to me was a little bit more terrifying, because kind of like what Matt was saying earlier was that it's not just one model. They're size appropriate models, and they go from like these little slender spider monsters to now you've got giant lobsters swarming on you and trying to murder you.
Yeah, but it is kind of messed up. Like there's all these different crabs now. And I mean, you don't think about how long we've been playing this game. Yeah, we've been playing this game for like a long time. It's the 20th anniversary edition for Pete's sake. Mm-hmm. And so they have a lot of crabs to draw from when replacing the enormous amount of spiders that they have. So well, it's like, yikes, there's a lot of spiders and there's a lot of crabs.
And the part of what makes this change, like why they're touting it so much, is obviously for accessibility, but because there's the added, when you go to the later zones that are underground, there was the 1-2 punch of arachnophobia and claustrophobia. And you'll see that in later designs. Like, I mean, it's pretty apparent in pictures of the zones that even though you're underground, it doesn't really look like you're underground unless you look hard and try and look for outlines of, you know, the cavern walls.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, because especially in specific zones. Some of the zones, it's practically indistinguishable. You really have a hard time telling. Go ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No. That was pretty much it. It was just that being aware that, okay, like, you know, not everyone is afraid of spiders, but maybe some people are afraid of enclosed spaces, and some people hate being underground for long periods of time in terms of the game. And that 1-2 punch coupled together may just be like, for some players, not worth it to try and suck it up through.
Yeah, especially since it's a situation of if you have both of them, it's really going to be a nightmare. Yeah, so absolutely. On the subject of that, since you brought that up, I watched the video where Ian was talking about how they were designing the zones. They didn't want them to feel like, you know, really claustrophobic or really tight in. And they used the example of the zone with the giant crystal in the sky that is effectively taking the place of the sun. And with the
Halifal.
With Halifal, yeah. When you, with Halifal the way it is, you can't really even see that you're in a cavern unless you basically fly up to the top. And so you can actually fly all the way up to the top of the cavern, but it's way the heck up there. Did you get a chance to do anything like that? To look around at the area around you to see how enclosed it feels?
So for the alpha, the only area that's accessible right now is the Isle of Dorne. There is a way to get into the next area, which is the Ringing Deeps, the first underground area, it looks like. And the first, obviously, one of the first things I did was I tried to get in there. I hit a loading screen. I got the briefest glimpse of what the next zone looks like. And then the game spit me out and said, you're not supposed to be here. but for this round of alpha, Blizzard has said their plan is to be week over week, they'll add a new zone. So right now we've got the Isle of Dorne. After I'm sure not next week, but the week after, then it'll be Ringing Deeps. And then after that, it'll be Halifal.
Very cool. I want to get the chance to look at Halifal just to get to see that. But while we're talking about this, since we just segued into flying around, dynamic flight in The War Within. From what I understand, pretty close to like something like 450 some of the mounts that you might have. I'm assuming only the flying ones. You know, it'd be really unfortunate for my Pinto to suddenly be like, ah, I'm up here. But something like 457 mounts have been put on the system.
It's 464.
464.
To be precise.
Yeah. So that's a lot of mounts. How is it working? Like, did you, since you were flying around, did you use it? Did you think it was working well? Like, what's going on with that?
It's really painful to go from like six of the little vigor nodes from Dragonflight down to three and not being able to change it. But
you mean ever or just during your time on the alpha you couldn't change it?
So someone put a code in the, I know someone did it in our staff chat, but also this kind of came up in the, there was a Discord chat that went out for the press event as well. Someone put in their this little string that would force open the dynamic flying menu so that you could choose your abilities. I didn't use it because I was at work at the time. And by the time there were just so many messages, I don't remember who sent it. I couldn't find it. And I was just like, all right, I'm just going to thug it out and deal with the three. But
I think the problem here is that you can't, there's not a way to open the dragon riding talent menu in game currently. I think that's the problem, correct. Not that they're removing vigor.
Correct. No, you're essentially, from how it looks to me, it's like you're just, they're treating it as if you've never collected a glyph in your life. So you are just starting from scratch. But one of the things that I noticed is that when you're using dynamic flying in Old World Azeroth, in the little buff section, it says that you can reach up to speeds of 85% of what they were on the Dragon Isles. So you're not going quite as fast. You're still going quickly, but I mean, I guess some people will be able to notice. I thought it was fine. It was super jarring in Old World Azeroth because you can toggle between dynamic and static flying on the mount menu, and you can add it to your action bar. And it's not an instant cast. It's like 5-ish seconds. But after that, once you fly, you know, it's whatever your chosen mode is. So I chose static flying in Old World Azeroth. And then when I got ported back to the Isle of Dorne, it automatically forced me back into dynamic flying. And then a little pop-up said that you can change it back once you get the War Within Pathfinder. So that's just something for everyone to just be aware of. Once you decide, or once you go into these zones, you are stuck with dynamic flying in Khaz Al-Ghar and all of the War Within zones.
That's really cool. I'm sitting here, you know, kind of messing around trying to get this character. I did get a chance, by the way, just to play with the warband. I made five characters so I could see what it's like to pull a character in and out. And they literally just drag and drop. Like, you can take this level one warrior here, you can put her up here, she will replace the level 70 warrior who was right there. So yeah, I mean, they do work.
The thing is, and I've heard this question a ton, it's just cosmetic. The characters who appear on your login screen, purely a cosmetic thing. That's just whatever characters you want to look at, whatever your favorites are. Whoever has the coolest transmog is definitely how I'm going to pick who goes there. But it has no structural impact on your warband itself. Everyone, every character on your account is in your warband, no matter what.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really like about it. But I also like that you can move them. You can actually move the characters up and down on the little, you know, like we're right now, you can move characters up and down.
Yeah.
If you do it with the four characters that are in the warband, it switches their positions around the fire. So you can move, like, your Tauren here can jump over to this one, or you could drop him to there, or you can go to there, or you can go to there. And he just moved around the fire. Like, he'd gone from first to fourth rank. I realize this is just cosmetic, but I like that it's there.
I haven't played the alpha very much, but I did find one bug while I was playing, which I was on the login screen looking at my warband, and I was adjusting my UE scale. And I changed it, and then I left the menu and went back to this login screen with my warband. And instead of any of my characters, it was four naked male Tauren standing there. And it's like, oh, okay, this is a thing that happened. Okay, I guess I'm everything is a Tauren now. It's, you know, alpha. It's how we do things here.
Yeah, I just also opened up my character talent thing. Hero talents are not unlocked yet for this level 70 character, but they're there. They're right there in the interface. Yeah.
If you talk to that Tauren that's 10 feet in front of you, you'll be able to unlock your hero talents.
Cool.
Quetzatauren, I think, is his name.
But I think in actual gameplay, you're going to earn those talents as you level up. So by the end of leveling in War Within, once you hit level 80, you're going to have all of your hero talents unlocked.
Yes, that's how it is. For the alpha, they just give it to everybody.
That makes sense. Give us some testing time.
Yeah, you will. Everyone will see, though, this is a hashtag feature, not a bug. You will end up having more talent points than you need, and you'll be stuck with that godforsaken, you have an unspent talent point, little notification in the bottom right of your screen in perpetuity. You'll end up, it's one more hero talent point, and God, the entire time, it infuriated me.
Yeah, I'm looking at right now the two options this character has is Herald of the Sun or Templar. I assume that means that this character might be holy. I haven't actually looked at what my character... No, it's Rhett. It's a Rhett Paladin.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, those are the two options this character has is Herald of the Sun and Templar. Templar seem to drop a big hammer on people. Herald of the Sun seem to burn people to death. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, I don't think there's... I think there are some new hero talents on the alpha, and there's a lot, if anyone's interested in it, hit up the forums. There's a lot of feedback threads, I believe, that have gone out over the day, and a lot of class changes, like too many to really go in and talk about all the hero talents in depth right now.
There's obviously some stuff that goes from like 71 to 80 on the just regular talents as well. Mm-hmm. Not going to talk about that too much because, you know, that really requires a lot more exploration. I do think we should talk about this one really fast, though. Who here is going to roll a Drakthir Paladin or Shaman when that becomes possible?
Nah.
Because, go ahead, Joe.
I don't know.
I want to hear you be derisive of Drakthir.
I just don't feel the need to... I make everything a Shaman, but I'm going to be already kind of tied up with the earthen, so I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're working on getting yourself an earthen.
And then the other possibly redacted race that we might get is a playable one.
Do we actually know? Or
like, we don't know. There's another... I don't want to talk too much about it because it was data mined and not anything that was talked about or confirmed, but it seems like there might be some player rigging for some extra... races that are either new or previously existing to the game world. So there might be more. Might be getting more allied races this time, since we don't have the Drakthir to sort of take that slot up for the entire time.
All right. But yeah, four players who didn't want to play a Drakthir because they didn't particularly want to play an Evoker at some point, not so far, not when the game goes live, not when the War Within comes out, but at some point after that, they're hoping to bring other class options to Drakthir. We don't know which ones they're going to be, but we also don't know when they're going to do it. So it's one of those things where they've said they want to do it. They said they think it will be happening kind of like the way the Evoker got their third spec in the middle of the expansion. Similar to that, they might actually start getting other classes.
It sounds like they're definitely getting other classes. Just Blizzard hasn't committed to a win, and they haven't told us which classes. I believe Christian wrote the post about this on the site right now, and he wrote that it seemed unlikely that they would get druids, and I'm like, except now I really want to play a Drakthir druid, and they're like totally normal feral forms, like it's just a totally normal bear, but it has like tiny whelp-sized dragon wings on the back.
I mean, let's be honest, there's only one race class combination I want. Anybody want to guess what it is?
Tuskar Shaman?
You got it, Liz.
What shaman?
Tuskar.
Oh, Tuskar, yeah. That's right.
Let me be my Wolf of Brimley.
Sorry for jumping in there. I could hear through that entire discussion of race. You were kind of I could hear the Tuskar like emanating from
it. It is like a battle drum always raging in the background whenever we talk about like classes and races.
Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn. Yeah, because, you know, when he is old. I hope he's not dead. I'd feel bad if he died.
Well, I don't know about that, but if he is, I will let him live on in Tuskar form when they let me make a Tuskar.
I'm rooting for you.
What's really annoying to me is that Wilford Brimley, in the appearance where he became famous, you know, Cocoon, was younger than I am now. He wasn't even 50 yet. So there's that to consider.
I'm totally kidding.
Trust me, you don't want to know what's going to come out of me. So, yeah. But we've talked about that. I do want to talk about a lot of stuff here. Like, I don't know how much we can talk about the whole idea of what's happening to a certain place and what character might not be around anymore.
I
feel like that's kind of... Go ahead, Liz.
I do want to say one thing about that is that there's... Like, right at the beginning, and this isn't in the alpha right now, but you can see the fallout from it pretty quickly. There is a tremendous event and a spoiler. You would expect this to kind of, like, an inciting event for the expansion. But one of the things that has kind of frustrated me about it is that you're seeing it on YouTube, you're seeing it everywhere, you're seeing it in headlines, you're seeing it in images.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way to avoid it. There's no way to avoid knowing it. I'm not going to tell you what it is, even though I think it's going to be impossible not to know. And I think that's a real shame. No one is going to be able to go into this expansion, load up that intro cinematic, play through those introductory quests, and be surprised by what is going to be a serious moment.
We talk about this a lot, right? Like, we talk about this to a point where at what point does the data mining take the fun away? And I feel like this is one of those things where it sort of potentially ruins what is an otherwise potentially huge moment. So there's no big surprise left. I was actually talking with somebody at work about that today, not to completely derail, but the idea of because he's really one of my employees is really big into WoW. Like, he's a Mythic Raider. He loves it. He's waiting for the next season to start. He's waiting for the next expansion to drop. Like, he's really dialed in. He's like, did you see this? Did you see that? I'm like, no, I'm not. So, well, why not? I'm like, I don't want to. I want to have some of that magic left. And because of one of my jobs here, some of that stuff already gets ruined for me and some of the magic gets kind of pulled away. And I'd like to try to preserve as much of that as I can. Like, I'd like to, whether I'm playing it for myself in the beta or whatever, and I get to experience it myself, I want to be able to experience it myself and not just look at data mining things. But I know that that's not good for everybody. I know some people are really into it, but like what we're talking about here, and I'm sure other people would agree, it's one of those moments where I wish it would have never been brought up outside of, you know, go do this thing and, you know, have fun. And well, maybe it won't be fun. Who knows? But go do this thing.
It's just a shame that we've lost so much of an element of surprise. And I can just imagine it in my head, what it would be like to go into the game and be shocked by this. Mm-hmm. But I think there are going to be very few people who are going to have the opportunity to be surprised. You're going to have to be really unplugged.
And for those of you that are listening at home, it's Mechatork comes back, and there is a cabaret show involving all mechanomes and gnomes. That's the opening number to The War Within. So it starts everything.
Joe, you didn't tell them the part about how he's married to the trade prince Galuic. And they've
it's a real Romeo. Gnomes. It's a real big Romeo and Juliet moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And goblins and gnomes are going to form like their united coalition that all the other short races of Azeroth are going to join. So yeah, you didn't mention that. I'm a little upset because it's so important. Sorry guys.
This is me. This is me trying to inject some humor into this and lighten it back up a little bit.
No, in all sincerity, I was hesitant to mention it because of the things you guys said, but also because, quite frankly, I don't know what's happening. Like, you know, like you didn't get to see it happen unless you like were on the event from Monday to Wednesday, maybe. Mm-mm. So it's a lot of stuff. Like, you know, when you go do one of these alpha tests, a lot of times stuff just isn't implemented. I remember I think it was Battle for Azeroth when they first put the 1 to 10 starting experience in, And there's all these moments where it's like, there'll be a cool cinematic here. And like, there's X lines across the screen. I'm like, I don't know what happened just now, but apparently them ogres is upset about something. So I do want to caution people not to get too worked up about this.
Yeah. Agreed. Maybe it changes. Maybe what we know about it isn't the complete story. Maybe how we get there and get past it is going to be completely different. You never know.
Guys, at one point when we were doing Mists of Pandaria all the way back in the day, they completely reworked a zone in the middle of the test.
They completely the very opening sequence that with the Jade Serpent statue, that whole thing got reworked two or three times.
Yeah. So things happen. That is certainly something to keep in mind. I think I want to talk about delves at least a little bit.
Yeah.
You get to do any delves, Nick?
Yes. So delves are part of... Okay, so hold on, because this is burning out of my skull really, really, really quick. Just about what we were all previously talking about. When it happened in the... So there is a part of that even the alpha testers didn't get to do. And during the Q&A session, it was like, okay, no, the opening quest for everyone is going to be experienced at the same time because they want everyone to be on the same page, have like this big, you know, rallying moment and, you know, true like Warcraft experience. Like what I think about is the Broken Shore at the beginning of Legion, right? Like something kind of on the scale of that. And then you do part of an opening quest that's obviously related to it. And then you're transported very, very quickly, like into not even just a bunch of quests down. Like I tried to reverse engineer as much as I could because I was like, there's just no way that a spoiler like that just casually gets dropped in a description of a scene. Because if it was really that big, I think that should have just been taken out. Like that specific one, like you just get the window that says, there's a cutscene here. Deal with it. You don't know what it's about. But so much happens between the start of the expansion and where the alpha testers ended up, even this current group. So that's also something I really wanted to echo back. Like, yes, like this is a potentially huge spoiler, but I think that with how it's shaping up, there's definitely way more that you can experience. Now back to delves. Delves are a new player progression activity that they want to be on par with raids and mythic dungeons. It's just essentially adding another option for people to level up. You'll learn how to do delves as part of the quests in the Isle of Dorne. It is quite literally woven into the story. You cannot miss it. You have to do it to progress the story. And it is a step-by-step breakdown of it. And what they're just essentially little instanced mini dungeons. You get an NPC companion. For season one, it's Bran. Season two, they said it would change up. I'm not sure who it is. The devs didn't say who it was, but there are members of the Dragonscale expedition from Dragonflight around on the Isle of Dorne and members of the Loam Niffin. So we've got options on who will be accompanying you in terms of these delves. But they're really, really straightforward. You go in, you have a scenario. There's something that's happening. The scenario that I got was I needed to push a cart from one end of a mine to another. And along the way, I needed to free some of the miners. I needed to kill things that were trying to ambush me. And that was it. It also kind of works a little bit like Torghast, where you can open random chests or kill randomly spawning elites and they'll give you powers. But those powers only last for a minute. They stack, but you got to make quick usage of it. And it's because these delves aren't supposed to last very long. It's supposed to last 10 to 15 minutes. And what's cool about it is your companion takes on the role of like damage dealing and healing. They have their own set of abilities that you can customize to meet your needs. They can also get trinkets assigned to them. I made Bran be a damage dealer and he ran around shooting and hitting things, which was cool. But if I stayed still for too long, he'd find a pillar to lean up against and go to sleep, which happened a lot because I was taking notes and taking screenshots, and every time I turned around, he was asleep. But what he'll also do, and what all your companions will do, is they will... There are gathering nodes. There were herbalism nodes in this specific delve, which was weird because it was pure rock, but I'm not going to get into that. And I would walk right by it, and he would just go up, pick it, and then bring it to me and add it to my inventory. I don't know how far that's going to go, if it's just going to be like for gathering materials, but that was it. And then there's a final encounter. The one that I had was a final boss, but there's also stuff like puzzles and platforming that you might have to get through. And then you get into the treasure room, and the treasure is, I should have said this at the beginning. That's my bad. These delves scale from a level 1 difficulty. And then they set up to level 11 in the dev Q&A, but I also saw like level 13 somewhere. I don't know. You get 10-ish levels of difficulty that escalate with different challenge modifiers. And then obviously the higher you go, the better gear that you get at the very end.
And another thing about this is that doing delves will count towards progress towards the Great Vault every week, which I think is really cool because it gives you this, you know, experience you can do solo or in a small group. You can do in a really short amount of time, 10 to 15 minutes, and you can go in and do this and you're making progress on the Great Vault without doing any necessarily group content. You don't have to run Mythic Plus. You don't have to run raids. You can do this short time commitment activity with a scaling difficulty level and scaling gear rewards, and also get extra rewards in the Great Vault. Certainly one thing we've seen is the Great Vault has been kind of, it's a little locked down to raiding and group content. Also PvP, but someone correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the PvP tier of the Great Vault is being replaced by this new Delves tier for,
I think that's
for getting
correct.
Rewards.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't tell you right now because I'm still in Orgrimmar, but I do believe that's correct.
But yeah, so I think it's really cool that we're getting this other progression method. And if it works out, if it feels good, I think that's great that we have kind of this third way to advance in PvE content that just doesn't require you to commit tons of hours to raiding, doesn't require you to do these challenging Mythic Plus dungeons, which can be hard to find groups for, can be a significant time commitment, all of that. So I think delves sound fantastic. I can't wait to try some of them out.
Go ahead, Nick.
I was working on this earlier, so I should know this off the top of my head. I was looking at what the rows of the Great Vault were, but now I can't. It's one of the old first War Within articles that Blizzard put out, but one thing that I didn't mention about these delves, and this because this came up in the dev Q&A, because these are supposed to be an additional progression like activity for players to do, you know, what are the restrictions on it, right? How many can you run in a day? And the answer was you can run as many as you want. They're geared kind of like they're likened to the holiday events. So like your first completion each day will have the best reward or a higher chance of giving you like a better reward. And then after that, you have to really grind for something else. But One thing to note about the Dells right now, an aspect of them that we're missing are these resplendent chests and resplendent keys. So throughout them, you can also open up these gear chests to get more rewards by putting together, it sounds like you're putting together keys kind of like for Sibellian and Rathion in the Dragon Isles, where you just farm key parts and put it together. But yeah, that part wasn't in the game because we just didn't have enough of the materials available. But they want it to be an activity that people can just do, and as many times as they want without it being like, you know, worry of lockout or anything else. Also, the more times you do them, obviously, like for the keys specifically, I bring those up because you'll get less and less of those each day or throughout the day, the more you grind it to kind of like preserve the rarity. But the treasure chests at the very end, some of them will be mimics. So have fun with that.
It was only a matter of time.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, in Plunderstorm, actually, you could be running Plunderstorm and sometimes you would run into a chest that was actually trapped and it would explode in your face. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a little connection here. Now, some of our chests, we might be looking at a treasure chest, but actually it's a mimic and it's going to eat your face. So, that certainly is going to change our relationship to treasure.
I wouldn't be surprised if they bring that exploding chest back, because there's some areas where you can definitely just get blasted off into oblivion. And I mean, I don't like needlessly like punitive things in games, but mm-hmm. I do appreciate like a good troll every now and then. Something like that, it would get a laugh out of me.
A good Zul'jin.
That's what we got out of Delves right now. I want to see more of them throughout and like in their entirety, but
okay. I do want to talk a little bit about the data mine stuff that Liz sent along. We've got some information about the Earthen, stuff like racial abilities, their paladin mount, which pretty much tells you they're going to have paladins, and the heritage armor. Well, the heritage armor is the easiest to talk about because you can just look at pictures. I don't know if you guys are getting to look at them. I kind of like it, but I also kind of feel like the helmet doesn't really work with it. Just looking at the various screenshots, the helmet seems to be like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more detail to come for that helmet. Let me put it that way, because it doesn't look quite the same as the rest of the set. But it's a pretty standard, you know, I'm made of rock, so I don't need an actual chest plate sort of helmet. I mean, armor set. I like it, but, you know. Joe, have you got a chance to look at this at all?
Nope.
Okay, then the shaman totems, we can't really talk about that. But yeah, they have their shaman totems are actually somewhat reminiscent of the Dark Iron ones, but they have their own feel. They look like a combination of a hammer and an anvil. It's like if you had an anvil that was hammer shaped. is the best way I can think of to describe them. Liz,
so that hammer. Go ahead, Liz.
I mean, I do want to take a step back, and for people who have not been following this, Earthen are our new allied race in the War Within, and they are literally Earthen. The friendly Earthen we have seen before in the game, except now you can play them. They are going to be available to both Alliance and Horde, so you can live out your dream of being a Horde dwarf if you want to. And I think their most interesting racial ability is ingest minerals. You are always well fed but cannot consume food. Activate ingest minerals to consume a gem and change the benefit granted to you by well fed. Amber gems give you stamina, emerald gems give you haste, onyx gems give you mastery, ruby gems give you crit, and sapphire gems give you versatility. And this is ridiculous and I love it.
I do find myself wondering, does this means no feasts or anything like that for Earthen?
That's certainly what it sounds like. It's you ain't eating food. Though the problem with that is, are these buffs enough to compensate for that? And if they are,
will they be a huge benefit to leveling? Because you suddenly have a raid-worthy buff going on.
Are they going to be a huge benefit to like top tier raiding where, you know, they go through so many feasts? If you have something that you just get that's comparative to that, then I don't know. It's an interesting one. It's a very interesting one. And I believe we will all be able to unlock Earthen by hitting level 80 and playing through the War Within. So I don't think, it doesn't sound like this is going to be a hard one, but you do have to get a character to 80 first.
Yeah, they have an ability called Azerite Surge, which is interesting because it's the only example of a spell or ability that has the evoker empowered spell type thing, mm-hmm. where you can empower this by holding a button down, basically. And so it's got actually three levels. It's got, you know, level one, you just deals a certain amount of fire damage. Level two is it heals allies for 100% of the spell power and an attack power thing. So you basically, you can blast things and heal your friends, or you can add even more fire damage to the highest health enemy if you get it all the way up to the third empowered level. So if you play an evoker, you probably know more about how to use empowered abilities, and it's the similar system. I am terrible with them. I could not get them to work half the time. But yeah, so that's interesting right there. Ingest minerals we've already talked about. Then we have like three more. We've got hyperproductive, which increases your finesse by 0%, which is obviously not going to be 0% in life. Yeah. But that's the chance of gathering additional materials. So you'll have you'll be a better gatherer, essentially. And we don't know how this works in terms of if it's just stuff you gather, or is it stuff that drops off of mobs? We don't know yet.
I imagine this is tied into the profession systems, in which mm-hmm. finesse is a stat, and the Dragonflight style profession systems are continuing into the War Within, which will have its own profession talent trees. Just like we're familiar, and you know, currently in Dragonflight, finesse is just for gathering professions, and it does help you gather more stuff.
So, Titan Wrought Frame, which means your base armor from equipped items is increased by some percentage. That's going to be pretty sweet for people who play tanks. That's something you'll look at. Well, again, depending on how high it is. And finally, there's Wide-Eyed Wonder, which when you gain experience for exploring a location, gain 0% additional exploration experience, which, I mean, that on the face of it, that might sound kind of like, oh, now they're going to level super fast, but you got to get a character to 80 before you can even roll one. So quite frankly, I don't think that's a problem. I think that's a feature.
And unless that's like 100% extra experience, exploration experience isn't massive. Straight up level off that. So it's a nice little perk, but it's a little perk.
Yeah. They have a paladin mount, which is basically like Robo Stone paladin mount. It's a charger. It's similar to the dwarf paladin one, but it's got really cool armor and really, really big horns.
It's a charger made of rock with dwarven style armor. Kind of glowy. I don't know. Yep. They've got a really cool aesthetic. I like them. I don't know if I'm going to roll one, but they have an awesome aesthetic.
Joe, you'd said you were going to roll one?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, I'm going to race change into one.
Okay, so you have to get a character to level 80 first, and then you can switch them.
Yep, sure. Sure will.
So, also, we should probably talk about the human racial is going away. Diplomacy, if you know the one. I played a human. Well, I mean, I play a human right now. I'm currently a human being. But, I mean, in the game, I played a human for like the first 9 years. And wow, it feels weird to say that. And I actually still have him. I have my human warrior, my very first character. I still got him. I level him every expansion. I leveled him just now in the last one. I'll probably level him in this one. But the diplomacy racial is one of those ones where it does nothing unless you need reputation. And then it's just the best racial ever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no in between. It's either completely nothing or it's just amazing and you love it.
And for everyone who's not familiar with this, diplomacy is a 10% bonus to all reputation gains. And it has always meant that if you're earning reputation, you should have rolled a human.
We've been earning a reputation in every expansion, all 9 of them. We've been earning a reputation all this time. Humans are always going to be the first ones to get to max rep with whoever you're grinding it with. Now, they're reworking reputation as a whole in War Within, correct? Like, they're making changes to the whole thing because part of the way that warbands work is it's changing up a lot of different stuff. So that's probably another reason that they're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I believe they mentioned that they're trying to get some fairness here to not have anyone who's like way ahead and way superior than others. And they also want to prevent you from like double dipping,
Which, yeah, you don't want to like have your human character go and get everything to max level first, and then everybody else will just log on and go, yeah, now I have it too.
No, so, and I mean, another thing they're doing about the double dipping thing is like, if you go and do a quest that gives you like a huge chunk of reputation, which there are lots of quests like that. Once we hit the War Within and we have all of our reputation is warband wide, it's going to be, you know, like the first time you complete this quest, you get a huge chunk of bonus reputation. But the second time, if you do it on an alt, you won't get that bonus reputation. You'll get something else, like maybe a currency or some other kind of thing. But you won't be able to double dip on the reputation just by playing 100 alts. So you can't just rush through and hit max rep by rolling as many alts as possible.
That makes sense. It's also, since the reputations are by and large shared account wide, it's not really necessary to let everybody do the quest and get the reputation again and again, because you're already going to have, when you switch to your second alt, they're already going to have the reputation that the first alt earned. So yeah, it seems a reasonable workaround to me, but that does mean that we're going to need a new human racial. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, unless they just, you know, everybody else has got a bunch of racials, humans only have two. Both of which are really great, but don't get me wrong. But still, they're going to need to do something on that one. Maybe they could come up with something actually interesting. That would be nice. I know that was a bit mean of me.
Yes, but a little bit.
Let's try and talk about this one, because this is when I was really interested to see the season one dungeon rotation. Or if you don't know what a dungeon rotation is, basically every season. For at least the past couple of expansions, the mythic dungeons got their own seasonal rotation. Some of the dungeons are the ones from the expansion, and some are ones from previous expansions. And you go through and you basically run them as mythics. They go up to mythic plus. If you played with Dragonflight, you saw this rotation change every season. There were new dungeons in there. For this season, season one of The War Within, you've got Arakara, the City of Echoes, which is, I believe it's a Nerubian city that's mm-hmm, coming in the expansion.
So.
City of Threads, which I assume is also that. The Dawnbreaker and the Stone Vault, those are also, I believe, War Within dungeons. I know the Dawnbreaker is the ship. It's the airship dungeon. So I'm familiar with those. Those are all new. Those are new with War Within. But then you get the following four. These are all going to be dungeons that you will be running. There's the Siege of Boralis. If you never ran that one, good luck to you. Necrotic Wake, which is like the best worst dungeon in Shadowlands. Quite frankly, hated it. Don't want to do that again, but there you go. And here comes one that I hated almost as much. A Mists of Turna Seath. Seath, I don't know how to pronounce these words.
Scythe. Which is, I to me, that was actually the worst dungeon in Shadowlands.
Yeah, but certainly not a good one. Yeah, but then just to make sure that they get the thumb right in your eye, Grim Batal Mythic. It makes sense that we're running it. It makes sense because it's tied into the lore. It's a Xalatath deal. She's involved in the lore of Grim Batal, and it's related to the Earthen, because we know that the Skeldrin, who are supposed to be in Grim Batal, show up in this expansion. So yeah, it makes sense, but oh my bleeping pirate ghost, do I not want to do Grim Batal Mythic. Oh my lord.
Am I the weird one out? Because like you're saying this and I'm like, yep, I would run this. Yep, I would run this. Yep, I can't wait for this.
I think you're
the weird one out.
You have your own taste, Joe, and they're yours, and you're welcome to them. But I mean, Grim Batal, for me, I had so many bad groups with it. Oh, I'm just imagining how terrible this is going to be. And I hope I'm wrong. I would be thrilled to be wrong on this. I don't want it to be terrible. I just think it will be.
Yeah, to clarify, Mists of Tirna Scythe, like, I enjoyed Ardenweald. And when I say, like, Mists of Tirna Scythe is terrible, I actually just mean because every group I ever ran it with could never get the mechanics down right, and it always ended up in everyone getting mopped. One thing I want to say about the dungeon rotation, or just the dungeons in general, at least for these four, the War Within ones. So obviously, like in previous World of Warcraft expansions, you know, dungeons are part of the story, but they're not part of the story. You can just like skip over them and head to the next zone, right? That's changing in the War Within, because They're going to, along with delves, like I said earlier, delves were part of the questline. Like, you had to do it to progress the story.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeons are going to do that as well. And they're essentially ramping up the functionality of the follower dungeons to deal with that, because they want people to, one, experience the story, and then not hit that weird roadblock of, I got to group up with people, like, and if I don't hit the same exact button someone else on the internet is telling me to, they're going to kick me. All right, I don't want to deal with that, so I just won't do it. I think that two of the, on this list of the four War Within dungeons, two of them are the level up ones, and two of them are like the end game ones.
Stone Vault and City of Threads are the leveling ones. City of Threads is the Nerubian zone one, and Stone Vault is in the Ringing Deep. And those are the two leveling dungeons that are going to be in the rotation as mythics. And then the level 80 dungeons, one of them is the Dawnbreaker, which is the hollow, it's a Hollowfall one. It's a, it's the ship. It's an airship dungeon, as Phil put it. And the other one, Arakar, the City of Echoes, used to be known as Old City, I guess, according to Phil in the article. But that's another Nerubian one. But so for you arachnophobes, it's the City of Horrible Crabs. And you'll be like, yay, crabs!
Don't forget that it's underground and in claustrophobic ruins, too. That part.
Yeah. Well, dark. That's, you know, there's only so much you can do to make the Nerubians not horrible. But we also, since we're talking about this, I am going to segue a little bit to talking about the dungeons and raids that we know about, since you just opened that door there, Nick. The ones that I find really interesting is the Rookery. We don't really know exactly what's going on with that, but it's going to be where the Earthen get their griffins. And as far as I know, they're just regular griffins. They're not like stone griffins or nothing. So there's also, this is the one where the Skarden pop up, which Joe and I have talked about the Skarden a few times. They're the horrible void monster dwarves in original lore. And here they seem to be the Earthen have also been getting Skardenized. We don't really know. I think that's why Grimbatal is going to be one of the dungeons, is I think that's going to be tied into this, as to why are the Earthen, you know, dealing with Skarden all of a sudden? What's the deal with that? And I'm pretty sure it's a Xalatath thing. Joe, what do you think?
I don't really know. I would almost assume that it would be something because of Xalatath. I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, and the fact that they're making it a dungeon, they're making Grimbatal a dungeon, and then they have this Skarden and the Rookery. That's the very first dungeon you can run, is the Rookery. And again, it's the Earthen are hatching their griffins there. The next one up is the Stone Vault and the Ringing Deeps. That's the Ringing Deeps is the place right after you're on the Isle of Dorne, and it's essentially the underground place with all the smelting and big machines and so forth. And that seems to have this garden being repelled by a machine that's also trying to keep us from getting in there. So I get the sense that we're going to go break this machine so we can get in, and then the Skarden are going to get in. Because, you know, that's, if anything I've learned from years of playing World of Warcraft, it's that adventurers are the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
There's actually a very similar line in that, in the opening quest, like right almost word for word. Oh my God, this is my fault.
Yeah. But next up is the Priority of the Sacred Flame in Hollowfall. That's, Some people are pointing out that it kind of feels Scarlet Crusade-y. And that would make sense, because the Scarlet Crusade is essentially, it's based on a Paladin order, and the Paladin orders are all descended from the Arathi. And the Arathi are a big deal in this expansion. The original human empire, the Arathi, somehow has a presence underground, which is a time-honored thing for any story set in the underground caverns or Hollow Earth or what have you. They almost always have like ancient Romans in this jungle. Yes, we've continued being Romans for the last 500 years. Similar to so
it's
that.
Funny, it's funny you say that. The placeholder image in the alpha for the Priory of the Sacred Flame is actually Scarlet Monastery.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's what they're going for.
So the one of the things that we actually got to talk about the design for this dungeon in the dev Q&A. And that giant crystal, which someone made sure to point out is not the tip of the sword. It is something entirely. Essentially the whole Arathi culture in Hollowfall revolves around that crystal and like using their powers through the light. And the final boss room, like we saw a still of it, there's a giant window that frames that crystal. And yeah, that is, that's actually one of the ones, once I started seeing like stills of that on the inside, I was, that's one I'm looking forward to running. Anyway, keep going, Matt, my bad.
Well, in the last one of the starter dungeons, for lack of a better word, the ones that like there's a level up dungeon in each zone sort of feeling, which you guys remember from every other World of Warcraft expansion. So, but City of Threads is the Nerubian one. It's basically, it looks like it's got a lot of webbing, you know? So it's going to be kind of weird, I think, when you're doing it. If you're an arachnophobe and you've got arachnophobe mode on, you're going to be fighting a bunch of, you know, enemy crabs in webbing. And it's like, why do the crabs have webs? Don't think about it too much is what I'm saying to you. But I'm also saying it's going to be hilarious because every time I see these things, I'm going to be like going, giant enemy crabs, hit them in the back, flip them for mass damage, because I can't help it. And I love to torment Steve Ballmer, even though we've never met and the man's a billionaire. But coming up next after those four, we've got four more. And I do like the one of them's callback to possibly one of the best dungeons that ever happened. Storm Stout Brewery. Essentially, this is a kind of dwarven themed version of that. It's a city in the city of Dornegal on the Isle of Dorne, and it's a meadery. They brew mead there. They're making mead, and there's a living IPA in this dungeon. I don't know how you get an IPA in a meadery, quite frankly, that shouldn't be happening. I know a lot of people don't like IPAs. They don't like the way they taste. They think they're too hips or what have you. I always did like IPAs, but I don't drink anymore. So for me, this is going to be like the closest I ever get to drinking again, I hope. Regardless, though, I do like the idea that they're doing kind of a lighthearted dungeon. One of the great things about Stormstar Brewery is getting Joe to do the thing at the end of Stormstar Brewery every time.
Because like, I do. I really do.
And it was perfect. Like, quite frankly, it was great. Peppers! I used to love running that with Joe. Dark Flame Cleft, that's in the Ringing Deeps, and that's, you know, we're still trying to take candles. Apparently, it's kobolds, and we're the Candle King. The Candle King from Hearthstone apparently shows up. And he's here, and we're trying to take his candles. Which I think, again, lighthearted dungeons are nice. I like them. The Hollowfast, however, gets the max level dungeon, the Dawnbreaker Airship dungeon. And the final one is Arakara, the City of Echoes, which is, again, it's a Nerubian city. And we don't really know exactly what's going on there, but there's some void stuff. And we know that the Nerubians have made a deal with Zalatath. So there's probably something going on there with that. And the last thing we've got is the first raid is going to be called Nerubar Palace. And that is, in case you're, it's pretty self-explanatory that it's a big Nerubian palace full of Nerubians. And apparently, yeah, it doesn't. Zalatath is the essential bad guy of this expansion. As far as we know, Zalatath is playing the role of the jailer or what have you, in that they are the one that we're chasing around trying to catch and keep from doing bad stuff while they're out doing bad stuff. And from what we get here, looking at Nerubar Palace, we've got, you know, your standard kind of bosses. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of use for that arachnophobia mode for people who have arachnophobia, because mm-hmm. we've got several spider people here, as far as I can tell them. In fact, they might all be spider people. I don't think we need to go over all of them, but we can if you guys want to.
I don't think we do.
I am going to say that the last one is Queen Ansurek, who herself waits at the end, blah, blah. She's uncovering traitors in the palace. So I'm getting the sense there's also going to be not as bad Nerubians that we can ally with, based on the idea that she's finding traitors in her callus, and now she's like already paranoid, and then she's going to just try to kill us. So, you know, that's how that works. But she's also trying to tap into dark powers and do stuff that Zalatath might want, sort of thing. So yeah,
so
so far it's looking good. Go ahead, Nick.
No, you're correct. One of the things that I tried to do while I was in the alpha the first few days was like try to map out all the different factions and like who's going to be part of it. It does seem like there's going to be I won't call them a friendly faction, but a faction that doesn't want to kill you first, that we will probably be meeting later, that Queen Ansurek will, mm-hmm. you know, look to snuff out. But I'm turning it into a meme because I had to hear this word said to me like 50 times in the span of 2 minutes. But verticality is the word of the raid, especially in the last boss room for Queen Ansurek. Like, they just kept saying the word, it's such a tall room, and verticality this, and verticality, 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 and then images of spiders dropping from the ceilings on webs. Long story short, kind of like how we had a dragon riding bit in Emir Drasil, the last raid, there's going to be some form of traversing in this raid as well, except instead of going horizontally, you're going vertically.
Okay. Could be good, could be horrible. The kind of stuff always... Never been a big fan of gimmicks and raids. I will be upfront on that kind of thing. But we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll be really cool, and you'll feel like you're playing Spider-Man 2. Or Spider-Man, you know, whichever one of those two games you wanted to play. I actually kind of like the first one better.
But only those two games. No other games.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there's never been another game with any kind of, like, up-down, like, you know... Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Bionic Commando. Right, yeah. Bionic Commando. My God, Bionic Commando. Oh, jeez. I'm realizing how old I am. Someone talk.
Wait, does it have to be up-down system using strings? Because Anthem's vertical system was probably the best part about it.
It was probably, yes. If one might actually argue, the only best part.
Exactly. We don't talk about that part. But yeah, in terms of movement.
Yeah, I mean, for all I know, there could be a series of helpful Nerubians around the edge that grab you and throw you up. I don't know. But regardless, I think it's interesting that they're going to be doing that. What else we got to talk about? I mean, we've actually powered through a lot of stuff, although we haven't really gotten on too much. We did mention that XP boosts. There's tons of class updates, but my God, guys, there's so many classes.
Yeah.
We'd be here until tomorrow.
And yeah, I don't think any of us want to be here until tomorrow, and y'all probably want to turn off the podcast and do other things at some point. And we're certainly going to be seeing much more as the alpha plays out. We only have one zone in the alpha so far, so okay, there's more to come. We're starting to scratch the surface of the War Within and seeing some of those cool major mechanics like warbands, like delves, but there's a lot more to explore. And of course, it's an alpha. There are bugs. Everything could change. The developers could change their minds about any of this tomorrow, and there's something different next week. So we gotta hang in there and see what happens, how it shapes up.
Yeah, but I will say Thrall's looking pretty buff right here. Nereism's in Org looking really... I just ran right through him. Sorry, Org. Thrall, that's really rude, Thrall. I apologize. I shouldn't have run through you. You should be solid. But yeah, I guess I'm going to throw this out to each of you. Do you have any final statements you want to make? And then we can do the whole thing where Joe talks and then I talk and then we leave. So yeah, anybody have... Let's start with Liz. You got a final statement you want to make?
I want to say the worst thing about the arachnophobia mode is that all of those crabs are not wearing tiny hats. I really think all of the crabs should be wearing hats, and I'm very disappointed that they aren't.
Did you, so just throwing it out there, hats have become such an important thing in gaming that even League of Legends has instituted a new item that costs you 500 gold that when you're in ARAM that just puts a hat on your character. Does nothing else. You literally just get a potion that puts a hat on your character. That's it. That's all it does. Hats are important.
See, I am that guy that turns helmets off and doesn't wear hats, so I definitely could be in men without hats.
But the crabs should be wearing hats. I just think...
Sorry, I am a foe to hats. I am the eternal bane of hats. I am your nightmare come to life because I will not wear you hats. You can't control me. That's why I didn't get the Nazoth eye helmet, because I'm not putting that thing on my head. Nope, my head will be free. Anyway, though, crabs, hats, if you guys want that, sure, I'm sure that could be something that could be arranged. Nick, since you are our guest, do you have anything?
Sorry.
It doesn't have to be about hats.
No. It's just a real quick thing about professions. As part of the profession, they're reworking how crafting orders are being done to be less just miserable and god-awful to deal with and do. There's going to be a NPC that does crafting orders, so there will always be baseline availability that's not subject to some dude trying to make 25,000 gold on the market with every transaction. Very, very small change, but probably really huge for people that want to advance their professions.
Yeah, but that was one of the things about professions is trying to get crafting orders to help level stuff up. That was annoying.
Yeah, but as far as that, I had a lot of fun in the alpha. It was really hard to keep my mouth shut for 2 weeks, but now I can talk about it. So looking forward to playing more.
Okay, Joe?
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much. Although I was asking you if you had anything to say.
Oh, I thought this was the puppy dog thing. I got nothing to say.
All right. Well, yeah. I don't want to waste it at this point. As for me, I also kind of, I'm more of in a let's find out, let's go. I've basically just been running around Orgrimmar with the character trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So, yeah, I don't have much right now. But I will say that we didn't do any questions this week. But, you know, still, guys, if you do have questions, like there's going to be plenty of time to talk about it next week. You can send those questions to us via our Discord. We have the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel for our patrons. We do look there first because you guys help us have a podcast, which is helpful. Or you can do, if you can't be our Patreon supporter for whatever reason, we don't judge. You can absolutely just use the Q&A podcast questions channel. It's open to everybody. Or you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show as opposed to the other two that we do currently. And who knows, by the time that we're talking, it could be another six. Who knows? We're podcasting maniacs. But regardless, thank you guys so much for being here with us. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you to Nick for showing up and actually having some idea of what he was talking about so the rest of us could like ask him questions all day. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.